seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 11 and the first part in verse 7. Zechariah chapter 11 and the first part of verse 7. And I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. The prophecy of Zechariah chapter 11 and the first part of verse 7. And I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. This is a very solemn and searching chapter because it declares the solemn destruction of Jerusalem. And but how merciful the Lord was to the remnant of his dear people that were to dwell in that area. And this text seemed to so rest upon me. this is what the Lord said he would do. I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. Now there are three vital things that has helped I want to look at in this word this evening. First of all, the type of flock it was. It was a flock of slaughter. Secondly, the Lord was to feed this flock, and only he could. And thirdly, it reaches out, the Lord does, even to the poor of the flock. We see here the great loving kindness of the Lord toward his dear people, even in Zechariah's day. You may think it strange the Lord has recorded by the blessed Holy Spirit concerning his flock, his dear people, that it was a flock of slaughter. This declares really what great persecution there was in Zechariah's day of God's dear people. They were continually under the threat of being slaughtered. And really, when we think of it in this dark and solemn day in which we live, throughout different places in the earth, there are many of God's dear people that seek to serve the Lord that are under continual threat of being slaughtered. And so, though this word was recorded all these many years ago, it is still relevant today. Now I want to look at this slaughter in a few ways. Firstly, this was the path that the Lord Jesus trod. There's those beautiful words, isn't there? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And really, that was the continual pathway while the Saviour walked here below. There were those that were continually threatening to slaughter him. Or they were. And they thought when he was nailed to Calvary's tree, and I speak it with much reverence, they were to gain the victory. But you see, little did they know that this dear Redeemer was to rise a mighty conqueror over all his enemies. And it may be there are those of you that are walking in some measure in this pathway. And it's a crucifying path. But I want to look at that in a moment. We think of that word that Paul wrote to the church at Rome in that beautiful 8th chapter of the Romans. It's a word that really the Holy Spirit has sweetly left on record, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And you know, when we are under that, it'll drive us many times to the throne of grace in prayer. What for? For divine protection. You see, a sheep naturally that's under the threat of slaughter will have no say in that slaughtering. But it's under that threat. It's a crucifying path to walk. But it was the path the dear Redeemer trod. And therefore, those souls that are brought into the reality of what's in our text, the flock of slaughter, will, as they walk through it, being able to meditate upon the dear Redeemer going to Calvary. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And when we are walking in that path in measure, we shall know a little what it is of what he endured. We sing in the hymn, don't we? What he endured, no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. But oh, to be led into a little of the agonies he endured. That leads me to the second point in this. You see, with the dear Redeemer being led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now what a lesson there is to us there. When we are under the threat of slaughter, because what did he do? He opened not his mouth. Submissive to it all. We see here grace wonderfully reigning in the dear Redeemer. Humility shining forth. How submissive he was to be led to Calvary's tree. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. Oh, may the Lord give us that grace to walk as he did. And we need much grace to walk it, don't we? So he says here, I will feed the flock of slaughter. Now this is what the Lord has recorded concerning his church, his people, his flock. While time lasts and while the earth remaineth, there will be a flock of the Lord's children in this earth. And as soon as that flock is removed, time will be no more. But there's another side to this, a flock of slaughter. If we are truly taught of the Holy Spirit and know our own heart, there's a lot in us that needs to be slaughtered. Oh, there is. And that is, like I said just now, a crucifying path to walk. You think of the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, brought up as a Pharisee. You read Philippians chapter 3, where he speaks of what he was before the Lord called him by grace. And you know, all that Pharisaic spirit had to be slaughtered in him. Oh, it did. It all had to be killed. It's like we just read in Romans, we are killed all the day long and as accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And one knows in one's heart, in a little measure, I trust, what it is for the Lord to kill in us, to slaughter in us all our pride. And we need it to be slaughtered, don't we? And we need all the self-righteousness in us to be slaughtered. And that's what the Lord did in Saul of Tarsus. He stripped him of every particle of that Pharisaic spirit that he had prior to the Damascus Road. And so he could well write to the Romans, we are killed all the day long and are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But then we need the Lord to kill us from all sin. The hymn writer said, it's a beautiful word really, take away the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be. You see, we have an old nature that's of this earth that loves sin. And it will ever go into sin. But you see, with the real child of God, it will all be slaughtered in, and the Lord will do it. But then we need that worldliness and carnality to be all slaughtered in us, don't we? It's all got to be destroyed. It's all got to be burnt up. You see, when Jerusalem, it says at the commencing of this chapter, the destruction of Jerusalem. And the Lord was to do it, to destroy the enemies there were in it. Oh, they were all to be destroyed. And the enemies in our own heart. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. They're within us, you see. And they're the worst enemies we can ever have, really. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. And those enemies within. The hymn writer said, didn't he? Mighty enemies without, but much mightier within. And then Oh, that this of the flesh must all be slaughtered. The Lord will have the preeminence. So this is a flock of slaughter. You may say as you come this evening, well, we didn't come to hear a discourse or a few words concerning a flock of slaughter. Now, it's not my word. It's what the Lord has said. And it doesn't just record it once. It's recorded many times throughout the Word of God, you know. And what a mercy it is if we are amongst those that know this, so much destroyed in us. Because what the child of God really wants is that which is of God, because that's all that's going to stand when they come to die. You know, you can learn the scriptures like the back of your hand. You can grow up in these things. Many have. And yet never known savingly what it is to know the precious truths recorded in God's word. So everything that is of the flesh must be destroyed. What does the apostle say? Go back to Romans. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the Lord, you see, will give that true spiritual mind. Oh, he will. Well, much further could be said on this flock. I will feed the flock of slaughter. Now they need feeding. And only the Lord can feed them. And they won't just feed on anything. You know, many people, if they don't know anything about sheep, they think a sheep can eat anything. I remember when I was a boy, old Mr. Haylock used to come to Stapler some Sunday afternoons when the pastor was away, and he was a very forthright preacher. And he said, beloved friends, the real children of God, they need heavenly food. He said, it's like a sheep naturally. He said, people think that you can feed a sheep with anything. He said, you can't. A sheep is very particular what it eats. You know, a goat will climb anywhere and nibble at anything. But a sheep won't. It wants pure food. And dear Mr. Haler said, it's so different than a sow. He said, you can give a sow a bucket of fish bones, anything, it'd almost eat it. But a sheep won't. Now here the Lord has told his dear children through the prophet Zechariah, I will feed the flock of slaughter. I will feed them. And he'll feed them, poor soul, with the best of the wheat. Oh, he will. What will they feed on? Well, they'll feed on the pure word of God. This is why it is so vital in this solemn dark day to have the pure truth and nothing but the truth. Not it watered down or made palatable to men. Do you know what it is to feed on the word? It's a wonderful thing, you know, and you go maybe in your private reading, you go to the Word of God, and your soul is hungry for a word from the Lord, and you open the Word, and your mind and your heart and your eyes fix on that Word you read, and it's food to you. And that's a wonderful thing. It's not food to the world or the ungodly, is it? They see no beauty in it, nor does the natural man. You can read maybe a chapter in God's holy word 100 times and it'd be just print on the page. But when the Holy Spirit shines upon the word, he'll make it food to your soul. And you'll be able to feed on it. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. What did the Holy Spirit record concerning dear Jeremiah? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Do you know what it is to feed on the word? I will feed the flock of slaughter. I will feed them. And he'll make his word life and power to your soul. And then you can feed too upon the precious Redeemer himself. He is the bread of life to sinners. Oh yes. Do you know what it is to feed upon him? And feed upon his sufferings. Feed upon his death. And feed upon his glorious resurrection. And that's what faith will do. It'll feed on it. Because everything the sinner needs is in a precious Jesus. What does one of old say? He is my meat and my drink. My portion, my Lord and my all. And you think of those when the Saviour was here upon the earth. How he fed. Look at it first naturally. You see, these flock needed feeding naturally. You can look at it in the case of the children of Israel. I think I mentioned it on Lord's Day, if I remember rightly. How he gave them the bread from heaven, the manna every day. And look how he fed Elijah. He sent the ravens to feed him bread and flesh in the morning and then again in the evening. Oh, what a wonderful thing, you know, when we can see the Lord feeding us. Even in our poor bodies. You know how many of our godly forefathers were so dependent upon the Lord for him to feed them. Many could write books on it, of how he fed them as they walked through this wilderness. You know, we take so much for granted, don't we? I remember when Uncle Jabez was pastor of Black Boys. You know, he had a large family of children, and his dear wife said they'd only got a little piece of a loaf left to feed them. And she said to him, "Well, what am I going to do? How am I going to feed them?" And he said, "You cut it and keep cutting it." And he said, "If we had faith to believe, the Lord will feed them all." And she said, you know, she was so humbled, she cut it and she cut it and gave to them, they all fed. And she could truly praise and bless the Lord's name for feeding them. None of them lacked. And that's a wonderful thing, but looking in our souls, do we not need? Is it your prayer? I was going to say every time we go into the house of God, again, dear Lord, we would be fed. We come to seek for living bread and feast on bread divine. Is that your prayer as you come up? You know, our godly forefathers, many of them used to come up really hungering for the truth. What was it made? Those dear old pastors back in the 1800s that stood here, their ministry, such food to the people, is because those that came up with such a hunger for the word. They couldn't go on without it, and they made the poor men preach, they did, because they were in such hunger for the truth. You know, when is it we really need a meal naturally? It's when we're hungry, isn't it? If we're not hungry, we don't need food, do we? But when we really hunger, blessed are they, Jesus said, that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So he says, I will feed the flock of slaughter. I will feed them. And oh, what a sweet time it is when we have a feeding time upon a precious Jesus. He's my meat and my drink and my all. And may we know those blessed seasons, you know, feeding upon him. But have we that real hunger for the word? You know, really, if there was a real hunger for the word like there was back in the 1800s when William Cowper, first pastor here, preached to 800, there was such a hunger for the word they could walk miles to hear the truth preached. And really, you know, today the chapel would be full if there was a real hunger for the word. Oh, the word. But you see, a man feeds on pleasures of this earth, feeds on the things of time. There's not the hunger for the truth. Think of the Lord Jesus, how he fed the hungry while he was upon the earth, the 5,000. And there was that which they gathered up of the fragments that remained. You see, in his hand there was everything to feed them. And he can do that for your soul today. If you are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, hungering and thirsting after a precious Jesus, hungering and thirsting for the word of God. And then the third point in this word, he says, even you, O poor of the flock. The margin tells us, the very poor, the very poor. You know, a person that's very poor naturally has nothing, have they, of this earth's goods. And think about it spiritually. What did Jesus say in his Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a blessed word, isn't it, to sinners? Now, poor soul, do you feel your poverty? The hymn writer said, blessed are they that are brought to see their emptiness and poverty. The hymn writer further said, the poor are the wretch, the welcome are here. You know, none are too poor for Christ. All they want is him. He came to seek and to save them that were lost, you see. Poor, needy sinners. And the poorer we feel, the more we shall need the dear Redeemer. And why do we need him? Because in him a rich fullness dwells. All that you need in your poverty will be found in Christ. Then him, you see, there's such a fullness, a rich fullness that dwells to supply these poor. You think of the beggars that came to the Lord Jesus. They came begging because they were in need. They were poor. They were blind. They were helpless. And they were dependent upon him. You know, the more we feel poor, the more we shall need the Lord Jesus. Oh, we will. I quoted just now, I know, but the poor, the wretch, the welcome are here. They're welcome to the throne of grace. They're welcome to the feet of Jesus. They're welcome to spread all their case before him, knowing that he can supply all they need, and they come away satisfied, filled, you see, with all the riches of his grace. So he reaches out to these that felt, there's no doubt they felt in Zechariah's day, with all the destruction, with all the slaughter there was, so poor. But we find too the Holy Spirit wonderfully in the prophecy of Zephaniah too spoke of these poor, and he alone can supply that need, what they have. And what do we read? I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. They shall trust in him. They've got nowhere else to trust. They've nowhere else to go but to the dear Redeemer. They shall trust in the name of the Lord. Where are you trusting tonight in all your poverty and emptiness? Is it in him? Because poor soul, he'll never fail them that trust in him. So he reaches out to these characters. Even you. You know, if the Holy Spirit would whisper that to one poor soul tonight, you'd be the happiest soul in Azor Chapel, the happiest soul really in England, really, even you. You may say, what poor, guilty, helpless me, even you. Look how low the Lord stoops to his dear children. He, think of the dear Redeemer, he was made poor that we might be made rich. Think of him, how, I was thinking of it earlier, you know. He had nothing of this earth's goods. He left the realms of bliss and of glory, came into this world, laid in a manger. He had no natural home. Not all the things that we have today. He was poor, that his dear people might be rich. He had a blessed abiding place in heaven to dwell forever, and where his dear people should dwell with him forever. But while they're here, they know what it is to be poor. Well, I've scratched around the surface of this. And may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply it to us. And I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. Well, may the Lord sweetly grant it. And then if we are favoured with it, we'll be able to praise and bless his holy name and glorify him forever.